Welcome to Chat NDT with ASNT. I'm Haley Cowens. If you've been paying attention to the headlines, you might be getting a little nervous. Things that have been in service for a while are starting to show their age, and in some cases, failing altogether. Those of us in the non-destructive testing industry know there's a problem, but how can we make sure our inspectors are ready for it? And how can we make sure other industries and the public know how important NDT really is? In this episode, I spoke with two of the directors currently serving on ASNT's board, Anita Gregorian and Larry Culbertson Jr. They have written a white paper about this topic that will appear in the May issue of our journal, Materials Evaluation. In this episode, Anita and Larry will walk us through the challenges facing in-service assets and get us thinking about the next steps. So Anita and Larry, thank you so much for joining me. We're here to talk about a recent white paper that you wrote about the problem of in-service inspection content and a need that the NDT industry currently has. So I wanted to start by asking you to help define the scope of the problem you're talking about. What do we mean by in-service inspection content and what's been lacking in that area?
There's been a huge paradigm shift where we have been focused on the manufacturing processes. Now we're starting to see a degrading infrastructure, airplanes getting up to 50 to 60 years past their time. In fact, if you look at the B-52, I think it's going to hit 100-year mark. So when you start looking at that, and then you start looking at the curriculum that is being offered, it's all basic principles and what to do and how to do it. It's nothing, the education is not being driven to say, what are the corrosion effects? What are some of the environmental effects? What are those type of effects that are going on? And we do have some companies that do focus on that, but in general, overall, we don't have that ability. And nor are the training that is being offered, you know, specialized in that type of environment.
I agree 100% with Larry. We are seeing materials being put into the environments, and we are taking into effect these properties of the materials in their pristine conditions. So when we're adding the environmental factors, the fatigue, the corrosion, the acidic environments, the heat fluctuations, all these things, and especially when they're happening all together, and I don't know if necessarily we are trained well enough for that in the field.
So it sounds like what I'm hearing is the way that inspectors are going to be encountering the things that they're inspecting is different from how it's being taught to them. It's being taught to them from more of a perspective of when it's brand new and not realistically factoring in the conditions that these materials will actually be in.
Correct. And again, I think the key operative there was pristine. They see the metal when it's clean, no pitting, nothing of that sort. And or over the years, you know, get painted and the painting peels off. And there's just so many different issues that go along with it that just compound the difficulty in the inspection.
But Larry, wouldn't you say some industries look at it with a more stringent lens? For example, with aviation and aerospace, they have margins, they have the knockdown factors. So they're already at the design level. And probably marine too. They're incorporating this, knowing that in the future it will happen. They have different types of design policies. I forget the name of them, like the fail-safe design policy, where, you know, they'll try to circumvent failure. They'll set up these obstacles so that if there is a failure mechanism, the whole thing doesn't come crumbling down. So yes, so there are some design parameters that they do put in it, but yes. To what Larry and I are saying, there is all these environmental factors that a lot of people don't really know. I mean, a lot of people have heard of corrosion. They have heard of fatigue. Corrosion is huge. It's not just rust. There's different types of metals that are corroding. They have different types of oxides that are there producing. There's different types of corrosion where it can look like a small little pit, but underneath it, it's just this huge catastrophic thing that's occurring, and you don't really know by just looking at it from the visual side.
Well, let's put it in a little bit more perspective. You made a comment, and I'm going to preface off of that. The design that goes into the structure, the reason why some of the aircraft now are going 50, 60, 80 years long is because that added efficiency or strength or loading was there. The yield was not exceeded. Now we're getting into fuel efficiencies, environmental, all that is now weight reduction. So what has to go away is that thickness that would have gave me 2.5 times my yield strength. Now I've got to bring it down to 1.5 times. So that gap, or I shouldn't say that band is being narrow, more narrow now than it ever has been. Would you agree with that, Anita? Because I know we're designing stuff now, you know, for, you know, weight conscientious, fuel efficiency and everything. So yeah, there's less room for margin of error. Let's put it that way.
Bad reusability too.
Oh, 100%.
Reusability.
So what role do standards have in this lack of content?
Huge. I mean, if I had to put it in one word, it would be huge. And I am a firm believer that if you want something done well, you have to do it yourself. And speaking in terms of the organization having the control over the NDE standards, because when you're in the field of NDE, there is some insight where there are the avenues that you see that don't necessarily translate into the standard. For example, when you do radiography, when you do x-ray, you use these image quality indicators. And the lowest, the thinnest material I think it goes to, and Larry, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's 1/4 inch, right? The materials that we're using in aerospace are much thinner than 1/4 inch. So you don't really have an image quality indicator for the judgment of the sensitivity of the image that you're producing, which is accurate for that 2T standard that we have. And I don't want to become too technical, but this is what I'm saying. So you need someone in the field. You need someone from the out there doing x-ray, out there doing UT, whatever it is, to come back and say, you know, guys, we need to incorporate this into the standard and not just have some outside entity creating those standards right for us.
Case in point, aerospace. That's where both Anita and I come from, even though I've done a little bit of work in the oil and gas and the other sectors. But our certification basis is all governed under NAS 410. And that is basically under the governance of AIA, which is not an NDT organization. And we feel that it would get more, you know, focus on NDT, the abilities, capabilities, qualification, certification, all of that, if it were under the umbrella of AS&T through the standards. And I think industry, if you talk to some of the mature type folks in our business, AS&T has been positioned to take that on time and time again and did not step up. And I think right now with the group that we have and the directors that we have on staff and the leadership under what we're at right now is a good focus for doing it now. Timing is everything. And I think right now we are set to do something really well with this.
So what would be some of your recommendations in terms of AS&T's role in this issue of the standards?
Now, there are going to be some challenges. You know, the current program for qualification and certification is based on an employee standard. And so the employer must take responsibility for the qualification and the certification of their personnel. Okay, so if we were to govern this and advocate for it, I think what we would want to do is come into more of a central certification program and truly work with the correct way of certifying people, then get into that service component. I think that's where we need to work towards.
I agree. Larry and I are huge supporters of this, of a centralized training.
And it would be a great opportunity for AS&T, and it fulfills, when you look at our mission statement, creating a safer world, that's what it's all about. And we would be the best to understand it. Obviously, we have the body of knowledge. You know, we know what the basic principles are. And then with the advocacy of having others within and to grow it into an in-service component, I think would be absolutely pristine for the business.
Obviously, another area where this is becoming crucial is in the training and education, as you mentioned. So what would be some of your recommendations to address the gaps that are happening there?
I think about this a lot. And I think one of the issues is NDE is a very multidisciplinary field. There's materials, there's physics, you know, you can play into the manufacturing, you can play into the mechanical aspect of it. And what I say is that it is very multidisciplinary. So it's very difficult. It's, do you teach it at a more fundamental school level? Or is this something that we have to enforce more when, you know, students branch out or they decide they want to go to a college or they want to go to a vocational school and take a 2-year program and just study some type of craft and then use that? I think in any case, we have to work maybe closer with manufacturers and kind of see what they want and then bring that and translate that to an education level and, you know, kind of almost like create a joint curriculum with them. This is what you guys need. Prepare these students. And then you have these students ready to now enter the workforce prepared with these techniques as opposed to hiring them and then onboarding them and bringing them up to speed with everything, which is going to happen anyway, naturally. Another area I kept thinking about was virtual, because now virtual education is big too, virtual classrooms. And I think when it comes to, for example, let's take x-ray again, you can't teach students x-ray just because of the whole safety issue. But if we have a virtual classroom, I mean, there's a laboratory, for example, that we can do x-ray projects and teach them how x-ray works and what is it that we are trying to see and find with x-ray. And so these are avenues that can be explored. I know the virtual environment is still growing right now, but hopefully one day we can come up to speed where students can learn, because I think that that traditional way of learning is past us.
I'd agree. But let's expand on what you also stated is working with the manufacturers, you know, the big companies. You know, yes, AS&T, we work well with the NDT equipment suppliers and vendors and all that. And that's our roots. Mm-hmm. But I think what we need to do is get more involved with the larger companies, whether it's a GE for an engine company, mm-hmm. or a Northrop Grumman that is building the fuselage sections and stuff like that. They have a huge ability to share, but we get into this world of, you know, IP. You know, what about, I don't want to show you my stuff because I'm afraid, you know, if it gets out, somebody's going to be worried about this or, you know, challenge me on this or so forth. But we got to get past that. We got to look at what's right for the industry. And in the collaborative effort between AS&T and, you know, the large companies, I think is going to be a huge factor to make this successful, because they've got to believe that we're going to do it and be a part of it. And that's the key. And yes, our equipment manufacturers know that, hey, let's go to the fall conference. We can show our wares and we'll get people to come in. But on the converse of that, I think we need to look at other means of bringing more involvement of the larger companies.
And to expand on that, it's not just even the education of the future generations, Haley. I think also there are some sectors and some companies that work very well and acknowledge NDE and its significance. And then there are other companies that they just, for cost effective measures, they just want to cut NDE out. And I think this ties into the awareness of NDE and how much awareness are we raising? And do people really understand the significance of it? It's like corrosion too. Corrosion is huge, but not many people understand the significance of it and detecting it and making sure it doesn't grow to an extent where it's catastrophic, you know?
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is it's not just about educating the people who are going to be doing the work. It's also about educating the public about how important the work is and, you know, companies that need NDT as to why they need NDT.
Oh, 100%.
Right.
And I think if we really wanted to sit down, we could find a reason why you need NDE probably in every company, if not most.
Oh, 100%.
If not, I mean, look at what's happening. This, the way I like to look, I don't, when you look at how a crack grows, like you have the area where a crack just starts out and it's okay. And then it slowly goes into the second phase where it's growing, but at a very slow rate, monitor it and so forth. And then it hits the third phase where it's just catastrophic failure. And I think that most of the equipment, most of the things that we're making now, we're kind of like in this transition zone between the second and the third phase. We haven't monitored it. We haven't evaluated it. We haven't really taken efforts to mitigate it. And now we're seeing all these things happening. I mean, just open the news. I don't want to name names. Larry and I discuss this every week. Things are coming out of the sky. And I mean, you know, buildings are collapsing. I mean, it's insane. And it's like, I'm pretty sure that we could have, we really, if they really knew what NDE was, they could have mitigated it.
Well, I think if you sum it up, I mean, you know, people ask me all the time, what do you do? And I say, non-destructive testing. And they look at me and they go, what is that? And the simplest way that I can explain it is, you know, you go to a doctor and a doctor looks at you, whether it's with x-ray, whether it's ultrasound, whether it's MRI, any of that type of stuff, you know, that's essentially what we do in the different sectors, no matter if it is aerospace, oil and gas, infrastructure, amusement parks, we all use that. Now, the general doctor will look at you and say, oh, I think you need to have an expert look at this. That's what we're advocating. We need to have more experts in the in-service side of things, just like you would do with a specialty with a doctor. You know, somebody that does head, nose, and or arms or whatever the case may be. We need that expertise in the in-service side also.
Yeah, and it sounds like continuing with that metaphor, that's also why it's important, you know, why people recommend go to the doctor regularly, even if you don't think that you have a problem, even if you don't think that you feel bad, because it's always better to catch something early than wait until it's gotten much worse.
Yeah. That's a great.
You couldn't have said it any better. Be proactive rather than reactive.
So given the scope of this, I know this is something that you all talked about in the paper as well. It might require working with even the U.S. government to help with this problem. So in what ways could we start to have that relationship? And do you know of any other organizations that have successfully done something similar?
I don't know of any organization that has been successful with trying to go down that path. But I do see an opportunity. You know, I think especially with, we hear it every day, our infrastructure is failing. Oof. And what can we do better? How can we do that? And I think we just had somebody that went to the Hill.
Agera, our director of marketing and communication.
I think what she was doing is fantastic. And if we could do more of that, and I think, you know, talking about bridges and all the failures and that type of stuff, that needs to get to that level. And the more we can do that type of stuff, 100%, I think it'd be awesome.
I mean, I want to just add to that. ASTM, that since the day of inception, yep, has worked hand in hand with the government. And I just want to point out, let's just look at their magnitude. Let's look at their power. They're big and they're strong. There's AMP, formerly known as NACE. And they worked on the Corrosion Prevention Repair Act of 2022. And that was, they worked, it was a, it was actually supported by both sides. It was a bipartisan infrastructure law of 2023, and they got funding. And now I think the main part of it is, was that it would require corrosion planning with the use of AMP qualified professionals on all bridge construction, repair, and maintenance projects throughout the country. That's big for, yeah.
That's huge.
Wherever there's corrosion, I mean, besides the visual aspect of it, you are going to need NDE. So
100%.
There should be something in there for ASNT as well. And I'm a firm believer that we need to get on the Hill. We need to talk with legislation. We need to, they probably don't have much awareness of our field either. So we need to bring them up to speed. Just like Larry was saying, our report card, it's a report card, right, Larry? Yes. And I think we're at a D, yes, or a C minus.
Hopefully we're at a C minus.
But so, yeah. I mean, there's room for NDE up at Capitol Hill for sure. I mean, there have been a lot of issues lately with fraudulent parts entering aviation, not completely being well qualified, not being inspected thoroughly. These things scare me. And I think it should scare everybody to the point where there should be some huge changes to the way the processes have been done.
Well, I think going to your point, you know, I want to believe that every person goes out there and wants to do a good job. I want to believe that. However, with that, not knowing where this part is going or where this structure is going to be, and not knowing the understanding of what is actually could happen if it failed or anything like that, I think that needs to be clearly defined and understood when these individuals get into this business, so that, you know, unfortunately, some people make a decision for the wrong and we can't change that. But if there was more of an awareness prior to that, hopefully it would circumvent that a little bit more. And I think having known that, you know, I've talked to many technicians and we talk about parts and I go, do you know where this goes on the airplane? They go, I have no idea. They don't care. Oh, well, wait a second. What do you mean you don't care? What happens if that fails? What happens if your family's on that plane? You know, there's a lot more to it. The serviceability and all the environmental effects, you know, that we're talking about that we need to understand are just a part of the big picture. And I think it's just more of an awareness for non-destructive testing, period.
So what would be your recommendations for next steps for listeners to this podcast who, you know, want to help address this problem as well? Do you have any recommendations either at the individual level or, you know, we've talked about recommendations for AS&T at the society level, but for someone who might be listening to this to say, yes, this is clearly a problem, I want to help.
Definitely need to get involved.
Bottom line. Yeah. I think that's the biggest push, is get more people involved. You know, I just attended the Greater Los Angeles section meeting the other night, and Emily was presenting. And normally we have about 10 people show up to the LA section. With Emily's talk, there was 40 some odd people there. So I think getting the interest up is beneficial overall. Getting the awareness, the support and all that. I think more that we can do along those lines and have a concerted effort all the way across the board, I think would help immensely.
Yes, I agree. I would also even add, and I'm not trying to for us, but to get your AS&T level 3 certifications, because you can take that from employer to employer. And it is something that really puts you a level above the rest, I would say. That if you can be certified to a level 3 in a certain method, it is nationally recognized and it does not limit you to any type of company. I think that is also a great way. I also believe that we need to be more vocal with NDE and tying it to the bigger picture, tying it to other organizations. How is it that NDE can interplay with corrosion? How is it that we can be used in, I mean, they even use it for, what do you call it, for art detecting. I mean, it really can be used everywhere. And when you start to paint this picture, and it depends on who your audience is, but when you start to paint that picture, why you need it, why it can save you X amount of dollars, what it can save in the future, then people start to really understand, oh, you know what? Maybe I do need to use this service, or maybe I do need to have a group come in and take a look. So we need to find a way to really translate that message to the general public and the public that is not aware. So we need to have some kind of a way to translate this message in a huge macro kind of level to grab their attention and keep their attention and have them go out and become the next generation of NDE professionals.
I think one thing to add is the trade, you know, we talk about what we do on the Hill, the trade portion of the high school involvement programs. I think if we were to get NDT, because not everybody's going to go to college, you know, and not everybody's going to do what their mom and dad wants them to do, and they want to get out and try to do something. So again, I think if we can bring some of this into the trades, you know, for the high schools and bring it to an early age, because again, there were at the AS&T Greater Los Angeles meeting, there were several female welders. And the only reason they came to hear the talk at AS&T, they go, oh, X-ray ultrasonics is going to be done on my welds. I want to know more about that so I know how to make a better weld. And so those kind of conversations need to happen more often. And again, I think at the macro level, getting it out there more is what's going to prove that it's a much better way of doing things.
Well, thank you both so much for talking with me. This is definitely an important issue that we'll be facing as a society in the future. And I encourage everybody who's interested to, you know, reach out, get involved, check out the volunteer portal, go to your local section meetings, everything that's been discussed, because, you know, it's going to be a huge effort. We'll need all hands on deck.
Oh, 100%.
Thank you, Haley.
Thank you so much to Anita and Larry, and stay tuned for their full paper in the May issue of Materials Evaluation. You can also keep in touch with AS&T on social media at AS&T Info. Chat NDT is a podcast from the American Society for Non-Destructive Testing. AS&T, creating a safer world.